We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
And I am doing this. What is this, you might ask? You might be confused. You might have come along and stumbled across a podcast with a slightly blurry cover photo and like, what's the good word? I wonder what the good word is. Let me find out. Well, the good word is welcome to your one-stop shop to any and all things Atlanta sports. I am your host, Joshua Julian. I'm giving you that experience, talking about every single team that we can. We did not do the Braves this week because opening day was supposed to be Thursday. Now it's going to be moved. But either way, I wanted to wait for opening day to kind of come through and we could start talking about actual games because I'd already kind of done the season expectations. I'd already talked about the prospects. I'd already talked about, you know, I didn't want to bore you guys with like a 20-minute ramble on, oh, this is somebody that I think might break out a little bit. And I think that, you know, Matt Olson might only hit 45 home runs instead of 50. And I didn't want to bore you guys with that. So we are saving the Atlanta Braves episode for next week, but we still have to talk about the Hawks because the Hawks are in the middle of their season and they've given us some stuff to talk about at least. So we'll cover the games. We'll talk about kind of the trends we're still seeing week to week. Really talk about how excited we are that Trae Young is about maybe potentially hopefully coming back at some point in this season, because I will be honest, I would much prefer to watch him play basketball. He is a delight, and you realize how much you miss him when he's gone. But either way, and then we'll talk about another recent mock draft that came out on Bleacher Report, and I'll break down some more prospects that apparently, according to NBA national writers, the Hawks could and or should be considering. And I'll give you my opinion on if I think they're a good pick or not. Obviously, this is kind of what I do. If you want to hear more prospect breakdowns, basketball and baseball specifically, go follow me on TikTok at SadAtlantaFan1113. I promise I'm not sad all the time. It's just, you know, being an Atlanta fan is hard. But anyway, after that shameless plug, we're going to get right into what we want to talk about. And we're going to be looking at the Atlanta Hawks in this past stretch. The Atlanta Hawks are not one, not two, but on a 3-game winning streak, and it's nice to see. And you'll see it. There is a level of, okay, well, 3-game winning streak. It's like the beginning of the Sans Trae Young stretch of the season when they were like, oh, well, we've won, you know, back to back games. Like, well, okay, it's shorthanded Magic and, you know, the Jazz. It is what it is. So, the first game, Saturday the 23rd, back last week, the Atlanta Hawks played the Charlotte Hornets in the confines of State Farm Arena, and the Hawks issued a beatdown of epic proportions. It was a 132-91 win for the Atlanta Hawks, and this is, I mean, looking at the season the stats of the game, man, the Hawks shot 56% from the field, 48% from three, 23 point makes total, 40 assists handed out in the game, on top of 9 steals, 5 blocks, just a dominant all-around game. And again, in all fairness, they are playing the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets are at least down LaMelo Ball. But they're starting Vasilije Micić, who was traded mid-season. Same thing with Trey Mann, traded mid-season into the rotation. But you still gotta perform, and the Hawks did. DeJounte Murray with a double-double of 28 points and 12 assists on only 14 shots, no less, and he got 5 steals. That's something that I will be mentioning. You also had a double-double from Clint Capella, 12 points, 10 rebounds to go along with a block. The bench was actually kind of the show up and show out team. Garrison Matthews had 20 points off the bench on only 8 shots, 4 of 6 from 3, 6 of 8 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. And then everyone's favorite bench big, Bruno Fernando, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 1 block, 11 of 14 from the field. Let's go, Bruno. I do hope that Bruno comes back next year. I'm a big fan of Bruno Fernando. That dude has some big shoulders. That brief aside, I know it's a strange thing to mention, but that dude's got some big shoulders. But the other notable part of this game is that Jalen Johnson didn't play. So the starting lineup, it was a small lineup. You had DeJounte Murray, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Vit Krejci, listed as a point guard, playing basically nominally small forward, and then DeAndre Hunter at the four. And DeAndre Hunter, back in the starting lineup, did not have a great game, only 4 of 14 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3. Interesting to note, because then we'll talk about it a little bit more here. So then the second win of this win streak, this one is the most impressive of them all, because I'm sure you've heard about it by now, and I'm not going to bore you too much, but the Atlanta Hawks went up against the Boston Celtics in Atlanta on Monday the 25th, and the Hawks at one point were down 30. In the first quarter, for example, the final tally was 44 points to 22 points for the Celtics. So 22-point lead after one quarter is not the greatest look, and the Celtics continued that run of dominance until eventually they kind of got out of it a little bit. Now, in all fairness, they were missing a couple important pieces. For example, they were missing Derek White at minimum. Peyton Pritchard was playing 28 minutes off the bench, so there was definitely, and Drew Holiday was also missing. That was the other one. So they really didn't have a point guard. But it didn't stop them from dominating at the beginning. They were trying to get into some actions. There's a great breakdown over The Athletic where they kind of broke down how the Celtics were essentially trying to be creative and change a couple things, kind of figure it out, and then the actions that they were running just kind of fell by the wayside, and the defensive effort was not there. But either way, the Hawks had their comeback win. They ended up taking the lead in the fourth quarter, and DeAndre Hunter launched one of those no. Okay, that's fine. Where the Hawks missed a shot. They got the offensive rebound. The shot clock was turned off because of that offensive rebound, because there was like 12 seconds left. They kicked it out to DeAndre Hunter, and DeAndre Hunter pulled the three and hit it, and they went ahead, but it's still one of those, like, why'd you take that shot? Okay, wait, that's fine. Okay, we're okay. But notable performers, DeJounte Murray, another double-double, 19 points, 15 assists, showing that when the ball is in his hands, he can run a league-average offense, right? The Hawks are pretty comfortably in the middle of the pack in terms of offensive efficiency without Trae Young. DeJounte, he gets the assist. He's very similar to Trae Young, in all honesty, with the way he kind of dominates the ball. Everything kind of runs through him. It's the typical star playbook in the NBA. He did shoot 8 of 22 in this game, only 2 of 9 from 3. But he had 3 steals, and that's kind of, again, DeJounte's defensive intensity and kind of you're seeing the best version of DeJounte Murray defensively in the last couple weeks, where he is really jumping passing lanes. He's gambling and it's paying off. And when that happens, he can be a relatively impactful defender. It's when you ask him to kind of be one-on-one, you know, stop penetration, keep the guy on the perimeter, that's kind of where he starts to struggle a little bit. He's just in an ill-fitting role for what he does best. Either way, everybody else in the starting lineup had double digits. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 22 points. DeAndre Hunter in the starting lineup, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a strong game from him. You also had 16 from Vit Krejci, the emergency starter, playing his role well, 16-6-2. And then the double-double from Clint Capella, 14 points, 12 rebounds, 2 blocks. Bruno Fernando off the bench, 13 points on only 7 shots, missed 1 shot on the game, and then the rest of the guys on the bench unfortunately didn't contribute a ton, but it didn't matter because the Hawks escaped with the W. And a win over the Celtics is huge, considering they are like the best team in the East and nominally the favorites to come out of the East. And they were able to keep Jaylen Brown only 10 of 22 shooting. Jason Tatum did have 37, but there are some examples of his transition defense wasn't the strongest. He did also have the 2 turnovers, and they were able to hold everybody else kind of in check. Kristaps Porzingis only had 17. You know, the Hawks did what they needed to do to get the win. And then the final game to talk about was Wednesday the 27th against the Portland Trail Blazers, another home game for the Hawks. This is another game you hope the Hawks win, because the Hawks aren't the greatest team, but the Trail Blazers are, you know, not. They're rebuilding or retooling, as every other NBA front office wants to call it. You had a 30-piece from DeJounte Murray in this game on 20 shots, 13 of 20, 4 of 8 from 3. Didn't get to his double-double, only had 7 assists. But he also had 2 blocks and 2 steals, so I guess we'll forgive you this time, DeJounte. I guess we'll forgive you this time. You also had 21 points off the bench from Garrison Matthews, 5 of 9 from three-point land, 2 blocks and 2 steals from everyone's favorite Bruno Fernando, accompanied by 5 turnovers and 5 fouls. So a little bit of yin and yang there. Dylan Windler, the two-way guy, had 11 points off the bench on 3 of 5 shooting from 3. Shout out to Dylan Windler. He's filled in admirably in the rotation, this shorthanded Hawks team that has like 6 guys on the injury report. And then, you know, DeAndre Hunter had 13, Clint Capella had 13 and 10, Bogdan had 16, 4 and 5. Nothing super notable on the Trailblazers side. No, only one guy eclipsed 20 points, and it was Delano Banton, who I didn't even know was still in the NBA, but 31 points and 9 assists from him. Definitely had like the ultra mega green light in this game, as the Portland Trailblazers are just trying to figure out who gets to stay past next season. Especially with they're missing Shaedon Sharpe, it looks like, to injury. Matisse Thybulle also did not play, and Anfernee Simons has been hurt as well. So they just had Scoot Henderson, and then they were running out second-round picks Tamani Kamara and Rayon Rupert as their other notable starters. So the Hawks are on a 3-game win streak, which, you know, woohoo, let's go. By the time this podcast episode is posted, the Hawks will have played the Celtics in their second game of the week against them. Also in Atlanta, which is very interesting. The Hawks are on an extended home stretch here. But hopefully it gets to 4 with that game by the time this is posted. But, you know, the Celtics are the Celtics. Who knows? The Hawks have proven they can beat them. But hopefully this time it doesn't take a 30-point comeback, right? That would be ideal. So again, general trends in this stretch of games, we're seeing the Hawks. They're still playing, right? They're still fighting to the end. I think Quinn Snyder is acquitting himself well. As I didn't have any doubts of Quinn Snyder's ability as a coach. I mean, he's proved how good of a coach he is over in Utah. I think that it's just proving that there needs to be some roster overturn to kind of better maximize his systems, better maximize what he wants to do, and just better maximize the guys that the Hawks already have that they think are the future, right? You've got a lot of guys that you know can play the game of basketball. Now you got to find guys that can fit together and play the game of basketball, because sometimes it feels like the Hawks are just a whole bunch of arms and legs, disconnected, disjointed, all looking for different they all have different agendas. Some people are out for, you know, individual success, team success. It's everybody's kind of, nobody's really working in sync. And it, at least in these games, it looks like they're coming together in some way, shape, or form to work for the team. Because a 3-game win streak is a 3-game win streak. That's what we like to see. Again, DeJounte Murray is acquitting himself well. I think it might be in his mind he's auditioning for a lead guard position on another team next year. And so he's showing out, and he's giving other teams reason to buy into him actually being able to, you know, be their point guard, basically. Which, you know, based going back to his time with the Spurs, he showed in that last season there that he could be the lead guard. The question of, you know, how great of a season-long team will it be if he's all your lead guard? That's up to them to figure out. I like DeJounte Murray. I have no personal problems with DeJounte Murray. And if the Hawks decide to keep him, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, because if they decide to keep him, it tells me that Quinn Snyder thinks he's figured out a plan. He thinks he's figured out a way to utilize DJ and Trey together and keep them both, you know, playing to their strengths while hiding their weaknesses. But I think we've seen 2 seasons of them. I think we know what this pairing is like. I think we know what they will eventually amount to. I think we know what their ceiling is. And I think it's time to move on from, ideally, DeJounte. That would be ideal to me, because he's the best asset you have outside of Trae Young. But you don't want to trade him. Anyway, so the Hawks still sit at 10th in the Eastern Conference. They now are only a game and a half behind the Bulls for the 9 seed. So, ooh, home court advantage in the play-in game, potentially. Dare I? But at the 8 seed is the 76ers. The Hawks are about 6.5, 7 games behind them. The odds of catching them, not the greatest, especially since Joel Embiid should be coming back at some point soon. That's what they keep saying, at least. As for the teams that are below the Hawks, the Nets are the closest team. They're 5.5 games back, and they don't really look interested. Although they are on a 2-game win streak, but they don't look super interested in winning. Otherwise, the Raptors are on a 12-game losing streak, which, yikes. So the Hawks really only have – the Hawks will more likely than not make the play-in tournament, barring a crazy collapse from the Atlanta Hawks. They will make the play-in tournament. Then, you know, everybody gets to compete for the right to get beaten 5 by the Celtics. really exciting stuff, guys. Really exciting stuff. But, hey, you know, the Hawks, they've won some basketball games. I always cheer for a team to win. I don't ever want to cheer for my team to lose. It just feels weird. So, three-game win streak is impressive. Very good job this week, Atlanta Hawks. Shout out DeJounte Murray. Shout out DeAndre Hunter. Shout out Bruno Fernando. Really coming along, showing off that promise that he had coming out of Maryland. But anyway, as for the second part of today's show, we're going to do some more prospect stuff. I'm trying to gear everybody up for the eventual talk that we'll have in the offseason. I'll probably be doing super in-depth dives on every single one of these guys, like reviewing film if I can, like doing as much as I can. I'm just giving you ideas based off what some of the writers are saying, my own personal opinions. I want you to get used to who is going to be on the team. I know we're like months away from the NBA draft, but that's because the playoffs take 2.5 months, and so I'm going to need something to talk about. So I'm just kind of, this is kind of the primer. I'm just giving you the general ideas, and then we'll probably do like stock up, stock down. We'll do, you know, individual player reviews. We'll do what we can do. Anyway, in this Bleacher Report mock draft written by the one and only Jonathan Wasserman, who is one of the two main guys that I follow for draft news and analysis, him and Sam Vecenie over at The Athletic. We talked about his mock draft actually on the previous episode. Go check that out. So in this mock draft, the Atlanta Hawks still have pick number 10 for their own pick. And in this one, the Atlanta Hawks end up with Cody Williams, who from the previous mock draft was at number 5. So he drops 5 spots in this one. Cody Williams is actually a very popular guy in mock drafts. I will be completely honest. I still need to do a little bit more homework on him, but I've kind of always been a little cautious of him. He is related to the Oklahoma City Thunder's combo guard Jalen Williams, who was one of my favorite prospects when he was coming out of Santa Clara. But Cody is a one-and-done freshman, 6'9", 190 pounds, plays mostly small forward with Colorado. He played next to Tristan Da Silva. And his is very much like it looks like right now a role player package, right? He's very raw, doesn't have a ton of polish, especially off the dribble. Watching him in the tournament, you might have known if you were watching. He doesn't have a ton of moves just yet off the dribble. He definitely has not played a ton on there. And part of it was situation. I mean, in Colorado, KJ Simpson kind of always had the ball. Tristan Da Silva was their main player. And then Eddie Lampkin got some paint touches. So he was at best like the third option. And he acquitted himself well. He played very well within that offense. He was great as kind of the, you know, he plays some defense and then he'll score off cuts. He'll score off, you know, open jumpers. He plays his role very well. And that's something very valuable if you're looking for, especially in this draft class, a guy who knows how to be a role player, a guy who kind of knows how to play within himself and within an offense and doesn't, you know, need the ball in his hands to do anything. He only took 1.73s per game. He did hit him at a high clip, but he was not, you know, taking a ton of them. So there's some questions on if the jump shot is really for real. He's young enough to where you can kind of figure it out. He at his peak, he's going to be a 3-and-D type guy. The pro comparison is Jaden McDaniels, which would be a fantastic outcome because that's like he's a top 10 defender in the NBA who hits enough open threes and does enough off the dribble to be threatening. If you get that, that's a surefire starter. But, I mean, again, he's 6'9". He's shown some ability in the paint. He's got a really high true shooting percentage. I think it was in the 60s or something, which is incredible. Because, again, he takes very efficient shots. He didn't really force the issue at all. He didn't have the opportunity to force the issue. But it's good that he didn't try to commandeer the offense. He kind of knew his role and stayed within it. So, again, scoring off cuts, playing off ball and playing some good defense. And that is the most important thing for the Hawks. If the Hawks end up with Cody Williams at 10, I will not complain in any way, shape, or form. There's definitely some development that would have to go on. You cannot like thrust him immediately into the starting rotation. Probably keep him coming off the bench. Although if the Hawks, the way that they've done it recently, I would imagine he would go down to the G League, spend some time developing down there, a la, you know, Jalen Johnson, Kobe Bufkin the last couple years. But the archetype is there. The promise is there. He's one of the higher upside picks in this draft class. The reason I wasn't as sold on him, it was when he was getting mocked top 5. I didn't really buy into him being a top five pick because I thought the gap between his floor and his ceiling was incredibly large and that it would take a lot, because the idea of his ceiling is, well, he's going to add some dribble moves and he's going to add an off the dribble three-pointer, and he's going to, you know, get a little stronger and be able to guard two through four, and he's going to be able to, and so it's just sort of, I was like, that's a lot of ands, like if and or and whatnot. But if you get him at 10, I think that, especially for what the Hawks need, I think it helps, because you can bring him in, and if you want to play him immediately, you just unleash him as a defender and hope the offense comes along as you go. So that would be pick number 10 right here in this mock draft. And then, as we all know, the Hawks have a second first-round pick. And in this mock, based off of positioning, the Hawks have number 21. And in this one, the Hawks would take Yves Miesi out of Baylor. And this one, if this is the pick that the Hawks make, that means that Clint Capela is no longer on the roster, because Miesi is a very similar player to Clint Capela. He's 7 foot, 235 pounds, and he's a pure paint-bound center, right? He finished off the season at Baylor with 63 dunks. He's definitely a pick-and-roll big. He's pretty athletic for his size, right? He's a good jumper. Again, when I first looked into him, my initial thought was, oh, so at best he becomes like Clint Capela. And, you know, so if you are picking the potential next Clint Capela, you're probably going to end up trading Clint Capela. He only shot 61.6% from the free throw line, and he had 13 total assists. But the allure for him, again, is the size, the wingspan. He did lock down the paint. He was a shot blocker. And he showed occasional ability to kind of face up and drive. I don't imagine that would be a featured part of his offense in his rookie year. It might take him a couple years to really get to the NBA level. I watched him in the tournament. It didn't look like he was super comfortable with the ball in his hands, so I wouldn't necessarily trust him to face up and drive initially. But again, as a rim-running, shot-swatting big, either off the bench or, you know, to develop as a future starter, he's a very safe prospect, is the best way I could put it. He is a safe prospect in this class. Ideally, it would also mean that Onyeka Okongwu is your starter, and you just kind of have this Miesi off the bench to provide similar defense. I mean, with Onyeka and Miesi, you would definitely have some good defense for 48 minutes every night. Although I would go Bruno Fernando first, but that's just me. That's just me. I'm a Bruno Fernando stan. So if it was me, if I was doing the draft, I'm not the biggest fan of this pick. Like, the very next pick is Kevin McCullough Jr. I would lean him more, even though he's a little similar to Cody Williams. He's older. So I think you get one guy who can kind of play the role now. You hope Cody grows into a bigger role as a starter, and then Kevin can kind of be your bench Swiss Army knife. You put him in similar to Bruce Brown, almost his player comparison, Josh Hart, if that helps. I would much prefer Kevin McCullough. Johnny Furphy was two picks away. That's another good one, in my opinion. Even taking a guy like Bobby Klitman, if you really want to double down on upside, I would prefer that. I just don't really see a reason to draft a big at that point with one of your first round picks, because that's not necessarily a weakness of yours. I think you can hold on to Clint Capela if you want. I wouldn't, because you're paying him $20 million and you're probably going to bring him off the bench next year. But even if you do let him walk, you can find a big man either, you know, through the G League. You've got Mo Guy. You can try bringing him up, or you can just stick with Bruno Fernando, because Bruno has proven that he can play at least, like, you know, average bench minutes for you. He's not embarrassing himself out there. There's still a lot of turnovers, but ideally you can kind of help with that, at least cut him down a little bit, and you're only going to put him out there for 20 minutes a night at most. But yeah, and if you're going to go with a center in a draft, I would lean more towards taking one with the 10th pick if you really want to go like Donovan Klingon, because he looks like he could be a defensive system unto himself. Or even if you want to go Kyle Filipowski, because he would be an interesting mismatch type guy. But Yves Miesi is my least favorite first-round center prospect. The fact that we got him at, in this one, the fact that they get him at 21 would be awful value. He's typically been a late lottery guy. But I think that the Hawks have other things that they should be looking at before they look at another Clint Capela-type center. But that's going to do it for today's episode. I tried to keep it nice and brief. Again, there's in the NBA seasons, I try not to draw a lot of conclusions from like three game stretches. Like, you know, the three game win streak has been nice, but you know, that I haven't changed my opinion on a bunch of people. I still kind of feel the same way about, you know, DeJounte Murray and DeAndre Hunter and everybody. I try not to get too caught up in the small sample size. So I don't want to do a hot take part of this. I don't want to break it down because a lot of what we've talked about on this podcast has stayed the same. There's not much else to really talk about. So, but hey, keep an eye out. The Hawks at least have won three in a row. They play the Celtics Thursday, so they'll be done by the time this podcast is up. And then you got the Bucks, the Bulls, and the Pistons for next week's episode. So we'll have more to talk about when we come back next week. But you can still stay tuned into this podcast, because by the time that episode will be recorded and uploaded, we'll have talked about the Braves' first week of games. We'll have talked about the Falcons. What are they looking to do in the draft this upcoming month? And we'll have talked about Georgia Tech, the flagship show of this podcast. Talking about Georgia Tech, what's going on with the basketball program? Maybe there's a comeback coming. Maybe Damon is pushing the right buttons. We'll see what happens, but stay tuned to this podcast. Again, it's your one-stop shop for anything and everything Atlanta sports-based, even Cobb County with the Atlanta Braves, right? We're covering everything here just so that you don't have to go anywhere else. You can just come to the exact same podcast every week and get some nice bite-sized chunks of information, plus some opinion, plus some analysis on your favorite teams. So that's going to do it for today's show. I think I've said that three times, so I will get you out of here. But you have to answer the age-old question, and everybody knows what the answer is. What's the good word?